Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Malka Bat Allegra, Shifra Bat Sara, Shlomo Ben Sara, and Dorit Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Daniel Nankin, Allegra Bat Rachel, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harav Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Ze Ben Chava, Harav Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shor, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. Well, the nightmare has started. We warned you that Joe Biden would be worse, even worse than Donald Trump. You know, we were not fans of Donald Trump. We urged you to vote for Donald Trump as a lesser of the two evils. Week after week, we urged you to make sure to vote for Donald Trump because we said that Biden would be worse. We also warned that Trump was going to lose. We knew that Trump was going to lose the election, or we were pretty sure that Trump was going to lose the election because of the way he was conducting his campaign and the way he conducted his administration and because of what America has become. America has become a left-wing country. But our concern, our deep concern, and our reason for pushing this concern upon you in terms of the election week after week was precisely because of what's occurring right now. Joe Biden is doing the thing that we most don't want him to do. He's appointing self-hating Jews to all the key positions, or to most of the key positions in his administration. Self-hating Jews do far more damage to the Jewish people than the worst Gentile anti-Semites. There is nothing worse for Israel and for the Jewish people than self-hating Jews. Self-hating Jewish traitors who are traitors to Israel and traitors to their fellow Jews are the Jewish people's worst nightmare. And all of these Jewish politicians and Jewish diplomats and members of the establishment in the United States are all self-hating Jewish traitors. First of all, the most important position for us in the next administration is Secretary of State, because that's the position that will most affect U.S. policy toward Israel, toward Iran. And the Secretary of State that Joe Biden proposes is Antony Blinken. And I don't know why he spells his name Antony Blinken. He is an intermarried, assimilated, self-hating Jew of the worst type. He's a self-hating, anti-Israel traitor who worked for Barack Hussein Osama, who worked for all enemies of the Jewish people. He's a left-wing Democrat. And he is someone who worked on the Iran nuclear agreement, the catastrophic Iran nuclear agreement that the Obama administration pushed, an agreement where the United States was funneling huge amounts of money and enabling Iran to gain hundreds of billions of dollars in trade benefits and other benefits, hundreds of billions of dollars, so that they would be able to build a nuclear arsenal and be able to endanger Israel, America, and the world with the threat of a nuclear holocaust. And this self-hating Jew, Antony Blinken, was part of that process. He supported the Iran nuclear agreement. He was part of the administration and played a major role in the administration while it was negotiating this evil agreement with Muslim terrorist Iran in order to give the world's number one sponsor of terrorism, Iran, this new strength and new power economically, financially, and otherwise, so that they would be able to add to their military nuclear bombs that could murder millions of men, women, and children, no less. And Blinken was part of that, and he's going to be the new Secretary of State, or at least he's the new Secretary of State that's been nominated by Joe Biden. Why do I say at least he's been the new Secretary of State? Not that I believe that there's any chance that the Senate, even if it becomes a Republican majority, they're not going to reject him. They're going to overwhelmingly vote to approve him. But I always say that because you never know absolutely for sure what Hashem, what God will do. Maybe God will strike him with lightning. I mean, you never know what will... Bezrat Hashem, God willing. You never know what will happen. You never know what God's intentions are. But right now, Blinken is on his way to becoming Secretary of State. Very, very bad for Israel. Very, very bad for the Jewish people. And the Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, the typical Brooklyn self-hating Jew, the typical evil, self-hating Jew who worked with Obama, and she was Obama's Federal Reserve chairwoman. I know she says the chair of the Federal Reserve because she doesn't want to say chairwoman or chairperson or chair. Now it's the chair of the Federal Reserve because it's sexist. That she was the chairwoman of the Federal Reserve, which in and of itself is an evil organization. The Federal Reserve is an evil organization. She is leftist scum who believes in destructive socialist economic policies. And you know, isn't it amazing that all the Treasury secretaries have to be Jewish? The establishment deliberately does this because they want the Jews to get blamed when the economy goes down. They want the Jews to be blamed. The WASP establishment in this country, who's the WASP establishment? The Rockefellers, Bill Gates, all of these leading Ivy League WASPs, they've always wanted the Jews to be blamed when something goes wrong. And so Mnuchin was Secretary of the Treasury under Trump. Janet Yellen's going to be Secretary of the Treasury under Joe Biden. Robert Rubin was Secretary of the Treasury under Bill Clinton. They always make Jews head of the Federal Reserve. Very rare. Right now we have a rare situation where, I mean, once in a while they'll appoint a Gentile to be the head of the Federal Reserve. But generally speaking, they put a Jew in charge of Federal Reserve. They put Jews in charge of the Treasury Department to make sure that the Jews are blamed if anything goes wrong with the economy. And yes, I do believe that's true. I do believe that sometimes is a consideration when they make these appointments. They like when the Jews are scapegoated over these things. They do like that, yes. Because the establishment, the people that run the Council on Foreign Relations, the State Department, the UN, all the different international agencies, the big banks, are anti-Semites. And the people who run these, and by the way, the Jews in these organizations are Jewish anti-Semites. So we've got Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, terrible choice. Antony Blinken, Secretary of State, horrible nightmare for the Jewish people. And the White House Chief of Staff, which is a very important position, Chief of Staff. He provides access to the president. He makes a lot of staffing decisions and scheduling decisions and is very influential in the White House. The White House Chief of Staff is going to be Ron Klain. Ron Klain or Klain, I don't know how you pronounce it. K-L-A-I-N is how he spells his name. Let's say Ron Klain. Ron Klain, he worked for all of the evil enemies of the Jewish people, Bill Clinton, Al Gore, Joe Biden, just leftist Democrat scum. And you know, it was brought to my attention by one of our great JTFers, one of our best people, brought to my attention that even the Secretary of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, is Jewish. I was surprised to hear that. I thought Alejandro Mayorkas, I thought that he was Mexican or Puerto Rican or some other Latino from some other Latino background. No, he calls himself a Latino Jew. He's Jewish. Both of his parents were Jewish. Another leftist Democrat traitor. And he was made the Secretary of Homeland Security in order to show that we're not going to use the Department of Homeland Security anymore to make illegal aliens feel unwelcome in the country just because they entered the country illegally. Because he Alejandro Mayorkas and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and all the other Democrats, they want the illegal aliens to understand that they're very welcome in the country and that they should get a path to citizenship as quickly as possible so that they can vote Democrat. It's unbelievable what's going on here. Look at all the key positions we have self-hating Jews put in charge. Very, very bad for the Jewish people. Very, very. And you know, for many, many years, 80, 90% of the Jews believed you have to vote for the Jewish candidate. When there's a race for office, the Jewish candidate would always get the 80-90% of the Jewish vote. They thought, well, we got to vote for our fellow Jew. How insane. All the Jewish politicians that they voted for all these years were all traitors. So they voted for the Jewish candidate. We had Herbert Lehman, who was the governor of New York during the 30s, right before the Holocaust. And you had all these other Jewish politicians getting elected to all types of senators, governors. And 6 million Jews were murdered, and the Jewish politicians were the first ones to work against rescuing the 6 million Jews. Against it. Why? Because if we rescue the 6 million Jews, then the anti-Semites are going to say we went to war just to save the Jews. And so they were so worried about anti-Semitic accusations and them accusing the Jews of dual loyalty, they were so worried about that, they were willing to let millions of Jews be burned and gassed in the worst crime in human history. Just so that their country club WASP friends in the cocktail parties wouldn't say something anti-Semitic or think something anti-Semitic or think something bad of them in terms of their loyalty. And this is the type of scum that 80-90% of the Jewish voters in America would vote for, consistently. If a Jew was running against a Gentile for any office, the Jews automatically, and the Jew would automatically raise millions of Jewish dollars, and we have to support our fellow Jew, after all. We always had a philosophy, we Kahanist Jews always said, always vote against the Jewish candidate. Always. Even if it's a Jewish candidate running against a Gentile anti-Semite, the Gentile anti-Semite will do less harm than the Jewish candidate. Of course, we're against anti-Semites. But the Gentile anti-Semite will do less harm than the Jewish anti-Semite. And the Jewish politicians in this country are backstabbing, traitorous anti-Semites. Judenrat, kapo, scum. And aside from all these, you know, I just gave you four examples of Jews in Biden's administration. Again, as we've mentioned in on many prior programs, even before the election, we naturally have Kamala Harris's husband. The new vice president's husband is a self-hating Jew. And Biden's family, his children, have married Jews, are married to Jews. And it's a nightmare. As much as we were very upset about the fact that Ivanka Trump, Trump's daughter, married a self-hating Jew, as much as that bothered us, and it really did hurt Israel, it was terrible, what Jared Kushner did to Israel with these agreements that he made with the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain and all these terrible, I mean, very, very bad for Israel, and freezing Jewish building in Judea and Samaria. Trump was part of freezing Jewish building in Judea and Samaria. Trump allowed Iran to continue to go on with its nuclear program and never militarily attacked its nuclear program. And I go on and on and on with the terrible, terrible policies of the Trump administration vis-a-vis Israel. And Jared Kushner was part and parcel of those terrible policies. As much of a nightmare as that was, and it was a nightmare, here we're getting all of those, we're getting those nightmarish, that nightmarish situation squared in a Biden administration because so many Jews are prominent Democrats. And so in a Democrat administration, you get huge numbers of Jewish appointees. We saw this with Bill Clinton. Remember with Bill Clinton? Madeleine Albright was Secretary of State, Robert Rubin was Secretary of the Treasury, and on and on and on. I mean, just Jew after Jew after Jew he was appointing. And he appointed, I think he appointed two Jewish Supreme Court justices. Just a nightmare for the Jewish people. So this is the worst thing we could possibly have. And it's a terrible, terrible nightmare. And it means we're going to face a very, very serious challenge in terms of Iran, in terms of Israel. They're going to, Biden right away wants to get back into this horrific agreement with Iran, which will create a real danger of a nuclear holocaust, an even greater danger than we have now. I mean, we have a danger of nuclear holocaust even now. Even under Trump, we had a danger of nuclear holocaust because he didn't have the guts to take out Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, which the United States could do in a few hours. In a few hours, U.S. Air Force go in, bomb, destroy, with bunker-busting bombs, just destroy the nuclear program and leave. And believe me, Iran can't do much about it if the United States does that. Without nuclear bombs, Iran is not a very serious threat to the United States. It's certainly the threat of murdering millions. Iran cannot murder millions of Americans or millions of Israelis or millions of Westerners without nuclear bombs. As long as Iran doesn't get nuclear bombs, the most Iran can do is set off a bomb here or assassinate or set off a bomb there and kill people here or kill people or even do a 9/11, which is terrible, no question about it. But a nuclear 9/11 would be 1,000 times worse. A nuclear 9/11. Can you imagine a nuclear 9/11? So a nuclear Iran is a threat to America's very survival and to Israel's very survival. That's the ultimate nightmare. And the danger of that now is much greater under Joe Biden. And with all these self-hating Jews, they're going to be the first ones to run and try to help Iran and try to rehabilitate Iran's economy and all the other things that will make Iran stronger and enable Iran to do the destructive things that Iran plans to do. If there's one thing we learn from history, it's that the Jews are their own worst enemies. The Jewish leaders and the Jewish people. They're like the guy that catches the football and runs and runs and runs and always scores a touchdown for the other team. You know, once in a while you'll have a player who, for whatever reason, gets confused on the field, goes crazy on the field, whatever, and he scores the touchdown. He runs and he scores the touchdown for the opposite team. Once in a while, you'll have that in football. With Jews, that's the only thing you ever have. The Jews are always scoring touchdowns for their enemies and always working against their own best interests and their own best survival. The Jews are their own worst enemies consistently throughout history. Consistently. They always make the wrong decisions. They never live up to what they're supposed to do. It's a consistent pattern. And it's the tragic reason why we're nearing the 6,000 point. We're in the Jewish calendar. When you reach 6,000 years, that's supposed to be the final maximum point before the Geulah Hashlem, before HaGeulah Hashlema, the final redemption comes. It's not supposed to go beyond 6,000 years. And it didn't have to be a whole 6,000 years. But the Jewish calendar, you know what year it is in the Jewish calendar? It's already 5720. That means that there are only 220 years left in the Jewish calendar. Now, when we say the year 5720, what does that mean? That means that significant history, according to Judaism, significant history started, really significant history for humanity started 5,780 years ago. That's basically what it means. In other words, human beings became capable of accepting God's laws and accepting and having a relationship with God and communication with God and prophecy and all the other things that we're supposed to have, that are supposed to be a natural part of life. Because prophecy, nevuah, prophecy, is not some miraculous, amazing thing. That's what it's supposed to be. God always created a world where he wanted to communicate with us. But he sets very high standards for who can be a prophet and what the conditions are that are ripe for prophecy. We have not had prophets or prophecy for thousands of years since the destruction of the first temple. We have not had prophecy or prophets. There's been no prophecy, there have been no prophecy, no prophets for approximately 2,500 years. And anyone who says they're a prophet is a liar. There are no prophets in our generation. And there have been no prophets for 2,500 years. And if a Jew says he's a prophet, including rabbis and leaders of sects and so on who call themselves prophets, baloney. Prophecy ended with the destruction of the first temple. And the Sanhedrin at that time had the last prophets. That's the end of prophecy. We had no more nevuah, we had no more prophecy. There can be something called Ruach HaKodesh. I don't want to go into that right now, which is a lower form of inspiration from God, but actual prophecy, actual God actually communicating with people, like he did with the Jews in ancient times. That God has not done for 2,500 years. Now with the rebuilding, now with the Jews returning to the land of Israel, and eventually when the third temple is rebuilt, Beit HaMikdash HaShlishi, when the third temple is eventually rebuilt in Jerusalem and those horrible mosques are taken down, Bezrat Hashem, Bimheravi Amenu Amen Ken Yehi Ratzon, God willing, speedily in our day, may it be speedily in our day, when that happens, we'll eventually have a renewal of prophecy. And eventually the gift of prophecy will return to the Jewish people. And it's basically, and I mean, I don't want to offend our Gentile viewers, and we, you know, we love righteous Gentiles, but prophecy is basically a Jewish gift. All the prophets in the Jewish Bible were Jewish. All of them. So prophecy is basically a Jewish gift. There were 55 prophets, and they were all Jewish. Whether or not Bil'am had the power of prophecy, or whether he was just a kosem, whether he was just a sorcerer, there's a machloket, there's a dispute about that. Bil'am, I don't want to go into the biblical story, but he was actually an evil enemy of the Jewish people, not Jewish, an enemy of the Jewish people. And there are those who claim that he had prophetic power, but there are also those who claim that he was just a sorcerer who was given certain messages, but he wasn't really a prophet. So, but aside from him, all the prophets in the Jewish Bible, the Tanakh, the Jewish Bible, all the prophets were Jewish. This is like a Jewish specialty, and this will come back to the world with the rebuilding of the temple and with all the other things that have to be done. The power of prophecy would come back to the world. It's something that we, of course, dream of and want to see return to the world. And that is the natural order of things. Right now we live in an unnatural world, a world where there's a separation between us and God. For 2,500 years, there's been a separation that is completely abnormal. God did not create the world to be separated from his creation. He wants to communicate with us, and he wants us to communicate with him. We can communicate with him, and we do with prayers. A Jew prays 3 times a day and does communicate with him. And not just the 3 formal prayers every day, Shacharit, Mincha, and Ma'ariv, not just that, which are the 3 Jewish prayers every day, not just that, a Jew, any time of the day, can also have personal prayers with God. I communicate with God all the time. I pray to God all the time. I pray to God frequently. But God doesn't answer me and speak back to me. If he did, then you would have to call a psychiatrist or an ambulance to take me to a mental hospital. We do not have prophecy in our day. We don't. And anyone who thinks we do is either imagining things or making things up or lying as a false prophet. In any event, we're in bad shape because we don't have anyone telling us the real truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And the only real leader that we had in modern history, recent modern history, that was doing that was our leader, Harav Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo. Rabbi Kahana, may his name be immortalized, the name of the saint be immortalized, may God avenge his blood. Our beloved Rabbi Meir Kahana, he was the last Jewish leader who was really telling us the whole truth and was really honest with us. In the past several hundred years, probably the greatest Jewish leader spiritually was the Gaon Mivilna, the Vilna Gaon. He was probably the greatest Jewish leader. And he made all types of predictions that were absolutely astonishing. Astonishing. In any event, for us to turn the situation around and create a world that is worth living in, we've got to wake the Jewish people up, and we've got to change this Jewish madness that's been going on. The Jews are, their crazy behavior has distorted everything in the world. We've got to turn that around. The Jews are the ones that will turn the situation around when they wake up. That's the key to turning the world around. That's the key to making this a better world. When the Jews wake up, when the Jews finally get their act together. That's going to be the key. You know, there's a concept in Judaism that each generation gets worse and worse because we go further and further away from Ma'amad Har Sinai. Ma'amad Har Sinai was the revelation, Mount Sinai, when God reveals himself and actually speaks to the Jewish people, the entire Jewish people, witnesses God communicating with them at Mount Sinai. And then there was no doubt, not a single Jew had any doubt of God's existence or God controlling the world, of God being the sole God of the world. There was no doubt in any Jew's mind after that happened. But as time went by, each generation, the memory of that and the effect of that becomes less and less and less. So each generation becomes worse and worse and worse. So each generation is diminished and becomes worse and worse. Well, we've seen that throughout history. We've seen the Jews become even more assimilated and more self-hating and more crazy and more, we've seen this over and over again. We've seen this over and over again, how there's been a deterioration for thousands of years of each generation getting further and further away from the truth that was revealed to us at Mount Sinai. But here's the good news. When we return to Eretz Yisrael, and we returned in 1948, when we return to Eretz Yisrael, and the redemption begins, because we're in the era of redemption now, Tekufat HaGeulah, the period of redemption, started in 1948, in the modern, but 1948 is, the date, the calendar used by the Christian world. And in 1948, and I'm just using it because that's the only date people understand, not because I consider the Christian world theologically to have anything. I don't think Christian theology has any validity at all. But anyway, in 1948, Israel came into being again after almost 2,000 years, and that is when the redemption started. And eventually, with our return to Israel, and when the Jews return to Israel, eventually we're going to have a point where you're going to see a reversal of the generations getting worse and worse because we get farther and farther away from the Ma'amad Har Sinai, from the revelations at Mount Sinai. You're going to see a reversal of that. Eventually, you're going to see each generation getting closer and closer to the truth because we've gone back to Yerushalayim, Jerusalem. We've gone back to Eretz Yisrael, to the land of Israel, to Eretz HaKodesh, to the Holy Land. We've gone back to our sources. And so little by little, each generation is going to get better. You're going to see a reversal of history, and Jewish generations are going to get better. In 1948, when the State of Israel was created, the vast majority of Jews in Israel were completely non-religious, and most of them were actually anti-religious, hostile to religion. They were socialists. It was terrible. It was a nightmare. And knew nothing. They were so ignorant of everything involving Judaism. Now, you have a situation where the majority of Jewish babies born every year, because the religious have babies, the majority of Jewish babies born every year in Israel come from religious homes. The trend is becoming more and more religious. Jews are it's the only Western country with a natural birth rate increase that's a healthy birth rate increase. The Jews have more births than the Arab Muslims in the Middle East, except for certain countries, except for Egypt and certain countries. But for most of the Middle East immediately surrounding Israel, the Jews have a higher birth rate, for instance, than Syrian Arab Muslims or Jordanian Arab Muslims or the Arab Muslims who live in the State of Israel. The Jews are outproducing them in terms of babies. This is a complete reversal. The Jews are having babies. Even the non-religious Jewish mothers in Israel have a natural birth rate increase. One of the few Western countries where this is occurring. Even non-religious Jewish mothers, and the Jewish mothers in places like Judea and Samaria, where you see house after house with 8 or 9 or 10 children. I mean, it's wonderful. It's just such a blessing what we see there. Jews are blindly, they don't even realize it, but they're blindly returning little by little, they're returning to the Torah. And when I say blindly, because they're not following Kahanism and they're not following Rabbi Kahana and they're following leaders that are still misleading them, but the stage is being set for the great awakening of the Jewish people. This is coming. It's coming. The stage is being set for this. The self-hating Jews will eventually die out. They'll be a thing of the past. Unfortunately, most of the Jews in America will die out. They'll disappear because they're self-hating. And they'll face terrible punishment in the next world. But the awakening of the Jewish people, this is something that will eventually happen and will eventually come. And this is what we have to fight for. We have to fight to prevent terrible tragedy from setting back the Geulah, from setting back the redemption, holding it back. The redemption is going to come eventually. The full redemption is going to come eventually, completely, no matter what. It will come. But when bad things happen, when Jews make bad decisions, it sets it back. It temporarily holds things back, and it can lead to terrible tragedy. We don't want Iran to drop nuclear bombs on Israel and murder, God forbid, hundreds of thousands of Israeli Jews. We don't want Israel to face terrible tragedy and punishment. We don't want our fellow Jews in Israel to suffer, or Jews around the world to suffer and face terrible tragedy. We want there to be redemption for the Jews and for the righteous Gentiles. We want there to be redemption. We want there to be salvation for them. And so we've got to sound the alarm. We've got to fight against evil policies and evil leaders. And we've got to be a voice in the wilderness that stands up and speaks up so that we can set the stage for the time when the final redemption does come. Because it surely will come. Because God is not Donald Trump, despite the fact that many Orthodox Jews apparently think he is. God is not Donald Trump or Joe Biden or politicians. God always keeps his word. And Hashem, God, has promised us. That's the whole message of all the prophecies. Whenever Yeshayahu or Yirmiyahu or Yechezkel, those are the prophets, Ezekiel, Isaiah and Jeremiah, the three prophets I mentioned, I gave those were their Hebrew names I just gave. Whatever they said, whenever they had a bad prophecy or warned the Jews, they always said in the end days, Be'acharit hayamim, in the end days, this is going to happen, and good things will happen in the end. Always. Because that is what will happen in the end. A loving God in the end is going to redeem the world, at least those who are worthy of being redeemed, in the end. But before then, we have an obligation to set the stage and prepare things because horrible, horrible tragedies, chas v'chalila, God forbid, can occur. Until then, until that day happens. Horrible things can happen. We saw with the Holocaust, with the murder of over 6 million Jews, how horrible things can get. And why we have to do everything we can to wake people up before it's too late. We're doing the best we can with JTF. In JTF, where all of our budget goes to reaching Israeli Jews with our advertising campaign. As I mentioned, we have 7 Hebrew videos that reach the Jews of Israel with that message in our advertising campaign. And tens of thousands of Jews in Israel every month see our videos. Hundreds of thousands every year see our videos. And hopefully this will plant the seed, plant in their minds the idea that there is another answer, that there are... Someone is telling them something that they don't hear from any other politicians or any of the rabbis or any of the other people in Israel. Or I don't know of the rabbis, any other rabbis giving them this message in Israel. But they're not getting this message from anyone else, the true Kahanist message. From us, they're getting it. So we hope we're planting the seeds of sanity, of rejuvenation, of resurrection, and of redemption for the Jewish people. That's what we're trying to do. That's what our objective is. And that's what you do when you're with JTF. In the meantime, we're going to have to resist and fight against Joe Biden's evil policies and the danger that he poses for Israel, for America, for the world. We're going to have to fight him and resist. I wish that the Republican senators would vote against Joe Biden's picks for the cabinet. And if I were a Republican senator, I would vote against all of his picks for all of his offices. I would vote against him on everything. Because he deserves 100%, he deserves a 100% no vote on everything, this evil animal. But that's not the way things work in Washington. In Washington, the Republicans are also corrupt and phony, and so they're gonna confirm his nominees, and they're gonna confirm his appointments, unfortunately. And they're not gonna give him the type of true resistance that they should be giving him. But we should be there to pressure and push and fight as best as we can to build up as much resistance to him as possible and to fight against his evil policies. That's what we're aiming to do. And if we succeed in turning around enough Jews and righteous Gentiles, and we succeed in doing something good in the world to make this a better world, and we do our part, none of us, not me, not anybody in the audience as far as I know, has the ability to change the whole world. But all of us can change part of it and can be part of the solution. And if we do that, God in his mercy and his love and his kindness, maybe will look down upon those who are trying their best and those who are trying to do what has to be done. And maybe as a result of that, we'll have more zchuyot, we'll have more rights and more merit, and we'll merit the great redemption and we'll merit God's intervention, which, again, will eventually come. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.